Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mdiwa Gavaza, and for today, we're talking around some of the advancements that are being made in the world of e-health, digital health, health technology, whatever words we want to throw inside that mix. That's the discussion that we're hoping to be having for today, and we are joined by one of the biggest players in the space, and that is Discovery Health. And to help us to understand what's going on, how COVID-19 has changed the landscape that we're in, because they're probably, you know, one of the companies that's at the coalface, as people would say, is Discovery Health. And on the line we are joined by Ryan Noach, who is the CEO of Discovery Health, to help us to unpack all of these issues. Ryan, greetings to you.
Greetings to you too, sir, and thanks for having me, Mudiwa.
Thank you so much for being with us. I think a good place for us to start, because Discovery is as big as it is, when we talk specifically and say Discovery Health, what exactly are we talking about?
Discovery Health is a medical scheme administrator and managed care organization. That means, in simple terms, that we actually administer the Discovery Health medical scheme and 18 other employer-based or restricted medical schemes. We represent about 3.7 million medically insured lives in the market. But what's very interesting about our business is that we are part of a broader integrated ecosystem. Our core purpose at Discovery is about enhancing and protecting the lives of our customers. And so over the years, what we have established is a fully integrated system, integrated with a product that you well know called Discovery Vitality, which seeks to share value with customers. So shared value is simply, we try and teach you about your level of wellness and your level of health. Once you understand it, we incentivize you to improve it. Once you improve your health, we share those benefits with you. You live a longer life. You live happier and healthier. The medical schemes that we represent obviously hopefully have lower claims because you're in better health. And so the harmony formed between all is shared. And that's the principle of shared value.
Before I move on, I just have a quick follow-up, now that I have someone from Discovery Health, I'm like, all the questions in my head are now coming to me. And I'm saying, when we say a medical, what's the difference between a medical scheme, a medical aid, a medical society? I'm just trying to think of all the words that usually get conflated together. Yeah.
Very good question. And it's a great opportunity to clear up that confusion. A medical scheme is the same as a medical aid in South African context. They are registered in terms of the Medical Schemes Act. This is an act of legislation passed by the Parliament, which in fact requires that medical schemes or medical aids are not-for-profit organizations governed by an independent board of trustees. And what they really do is they hold the members' contributions in trust, in a trust fund or a mutual fund, in order to pay the claims of the members. Discovery Health, who I work for, I'm employed by Discovery Health, we are the contracted administrator and managed care organization to the medical scheme. So the medical scheme signs a contract with us, which says, please, will you look after our members, manage who joins, how they join, apply the rules of the scheme and the law in terms of the act on a day-by-day basis, and run the scheme for us. In addition to that, our next level of responsibility is to do detailed analytics and ensure detailed clinical understanding of exactly what's going on in the healthcare system, unpack this, and make sure that the members of the medical schemes we represent get both high quality care, but importantly at a highly cost-effective price, so that the medical scheme can remain sustainable in the long term, so that this insurance pool remains sustainable. So unlike many other insurance organizations where there's actually a profit made through the insurance model, in medical schemes, they are not for-profit organizations. There's no profit made. The contributions received from members or the premiums you pay Modiwa every month go into the pool, and that pool must pay all the claims, which is where about 90% of the money goes, and 10% of the money goes into making sure that the scheme runs legally, efficiently, delivers good service to members, complies with the requirements of the Act, and so on. So all into governance and the like. And so that's how a medical scheme works. Now, as you said in your question, this is quite distinct from what we would call basic medical insurance, which is also available in our market. Discovery offers a product called FlexiCare. FlexiCare is actually underwritten by another insurer. Auto & General is the insurer that underwrites FlexiCare. We have a contract with Auto & General through which we're allowed to offer the FlexiCare product. And that FlexiCare product is medical insurance. It's registered in terms of the Insurance Act, not the Medical Schemes Act. And it provides, you know, defined healthcare benefits on an insurance basis. It is not a medical scheme. And so, for example, most of the products in that range don't cover care when you're in hospital. They cannot take risk for a full healthcare event. They cover defined insurance requirements. So FlexiCare covers GP visits, medicines in the pharmacy, basically your primary care needs. I hope you understand the difference between the two and the role of Discovery Health versus Discovery Health Medical Scheme.
Okay, cool. I think it helps to clarify some things, but I know that after this, I'm probably going to have to go back and listen to that again, because I am pretty sure there's years of experience that went into you simplifying, you know, that explanation that you did. I once heard that one of the hardest things to do is to make something very complex, you know, shrink it down into something, you know, very small. So I do thank you for, you know, for that. And I'm sure that people that are listening to this are probably going to go back and listen to it a couple of times and be like, okay, fine. Ryan has just said the things. I need to understand what he's saying. So with all of that being said, one of the things that's happened over the last year, undeniable, is COVID-19. So for you guys as a business, what does that do? Because I was talking to a financial services company the other day, I think it was Liberty, and they were saying that, you know, for their own business, right, they had to put together this 3 billion rand, I don't know what word to use, this was just a provision, you know, because of, you know, claims and all of, they just needed to instill some sort of confidence in the market. You know, from that point of view, put that aside just so that in case anything happens, they have funds readily available. But on your end, I can imagine that there's some different considerations that come in. So COVID-19, what has that done to your business? Just now, I want to hear about what it has done on the technology side. But just as a whole, what have you seen?
Well, I mean, like many other businesses, most other businesses across the world, this has been a major disruption. And the way I think about it is in three kind of categories. What it's done to our people, we're a big employer, and our responsibility to protect our employees, it's part one. Part two is our responsibility to protect our customers, the members of medical schemes and our other customers in Discovery Health that we must look after and across the group. And the third part is our responsibility to the country. And what we need to do for the country. And we've had a very considered, and I would say modestly, a leading response across all three areas. From an employee point of view, it took us 2 weeks to get all our employees across all of South Africa, about 9,000 people working from home. That 2 weeks was an incredibly busy period. You know, we run large call centers, large back office environments, big professional teams. Was a complicated move, but within 2 weeks and well before the level 5 lockdown started, we had our employees living at home, and our primary focus was really to ensure that our people were safe and that we looked after our own people. I must say that's been a marvelous experience looking back, because productivity has been outstanding. Our own technological capability and remote working capability has been massively upgraded. I'm not sure work and the way people work will ever look the same again. Certainly for us, We are going to be working in a hybrid mode going forward. Although very important to us, we have a very special culture at Discovery to still keep adequate contact and maintain that culture as a dynamic living environment. So that's part one. Part two, you know, for our customers, we moved very fast to design new benefits, to design cover and services that we could respond adequately to COVID. We wanted to protect our customers in the first instance. And so there was a huge amount of communication material, education material, information on how to protect customers. In fact, one good story, we took live on our website, South Africa's first COVID-19 information hub. It was on the Discovery website, but it was not in the logged in part of the website, so anybody could visit it. We gave some, you know, marketing lift and awareness around this, but not that much. On the night that we took it live, Madiwa, our security team, all their systems kicked into action because they believed we were having a denial of service attack. I mean, as a geek, you know what that is, right? Where there's lots and lots of hits, thousands of hits simultaneously on a particular web service in order to render that web service dysfunctional. The cyber systems that we have picked this up as a denial of service attack because never before in the history of Discovery have we seen so many hits simultaneously on one website. So the demand for information was voracious. And even today, as we're moving into the vaccination phase of COVID-19, that COVID-19 information hub on the website is providing a very important source of information. So aside from taking those initial benefits live, the information and education, right throughout the whole COVID-19 period, our analytics have been really at the forefront of understanding disease patterns and disease trajectories. We have a big data environment in Discovery. All our data is aggregated centrally. And through that data, we've been able to not only understand exactly where we are in the COVID-19 pandemic, but we've also been able to predict some of the COVID trajectory. And that predictive power has helped us prepare our members, the country, and ourselves to a great extent. And because this was an unknown disease, we've also, and I'm very proud of this, developed some learnings here in Discovery Health that the rest of the world was really yet to understand. And this is really through combining clinical data, what we see emerging out of the clinical system, with the administrative data, putting it all in one pot, and having smart actuaries and analysts and statisticians working right alongside clinicians to understand this. I'd like to give you a concrete example of how this changes lives. Let me give you one example. One of the things we realized about COVID-19 was that by the time people got to hospital, they were already often extremely ill. They were so ill by the time that they got to hospital that to treat them required ICU care and all sorts of interventions. And unfortunately, we were seeing a high mortality rate in the early part of the disease. And what we realized through this, combining our vitality wellness information, is firstly that there is a particular group of people who are at risk for COVID-19. Now, as we sit here today, you and I know this, it's now widely publicized that people living with chronic illness, the elderly, but particularly diabetics, for example, or people with high body mass index who are overweight, they're at very high risk for severe manifestations of COVID-19. So we identified those segments at high risk for COVID-19. We reached out proactively to them. Not only did we warn them of their particular risks, but we provided them with pulse oximeters. A pulse oximeter is a small little device that fits on your finger that measures the oxygen saturation levels in your blood. And we monitored them at home the moment that they were diagnosed positive for COVID-19. What this allowed us to do, Mudiwa, through technology, through remote monitoring, through partnering with general practitioners who were the doctors to those people, it allowed us to pick up early signs of their deterioration and to start treating them more aggressively with, you know, corticosteroids, steroid medicines, and other types of medicines quite aggressively and quickly, or to get them to a hospital sooner than they would otherwise have gone. And can you believe that the data analysis now retrospectively confirms a 48% lower death rate in this cohort of people? There were some diabetics who said to us, we don't want the pulse oximeter, we're not interested in care at home. There were some who opted in and took it when we offered it. The group who took it versus the group who didn't had a 48% lower death rate when they were infected with COVID-19. And so it's a great example of how data analytics technology dramatically changed the outcomes. And then really, lastly, you know, from a South Africa point of view, we see ourselves as a responsible citizen in the country. And we played a big part in supporting the country's response to COVID-19. Many of our very leading executives supported the Solidarity Fund, worked closely with the Department of Health and other governmental organizations like the NICD, the National Institute for Communicable Diseases, to make sure that we supported the country's response. We partnered with Vodacom, and across our digital healthcare platform, we offered free virtual consultations to any South African. That meant any South African who was facing COVID-19 infection could access a general practitioner consultation through Vodacom or through Discovery's website across Discovery Health's clinical platform, across our connected care platform. Other than just the sponsorships and donations, which many companies did, we feel we were right at the heart of the country's response.
One of the overarching themes, like you've just said, is, you know, that analytics capability. So maybe you can talk to us about what your technology investment looked like, before we went into the pandemic over the years, because, you know, technology has been something, and Discovery, seems to have, you know, had a technology focus even before we went into the pandemic, and how that has changed, or to use another word, enhanced, because of what we've just gone through over the last year, or whatever the specific systems are, or capabilities, skills, whatever it is.
To be honest, Madiwa, the healthcare industry across the entire world, globally now, I'm talking as a sector, is a bit of a laggard in this fourth industrial revolution of digitization of systems. If you look at manufacturing, retail, online retail, engineering, many other sectors, they have leaped ahead on digital frontiers. Whereas sadly, many healthcare systems in the world, you know, doctors still keep manual notes, and it's still a paper-based system in many parts of the world. There's a certain sadness in that. I also believe there's an opportunity in it. And what COVID-19 has done is created a tipping point for an explosion of digitization in the healthcare system, which was overdue in my opinion, but which I think is improving the healthcare system for patients. I think the main improvement is that this digitization puts patients at the center of the healthcare system. It's quite patient-centric. How does it do that? By having a single electronic record around every patient, it allows all the caregivers and all the healthcare systems throughout the healthcare ecosystem to really understand everything about that patient, to keep them informed electronically, to make sure they've got access to all that patient's information. So those are push and pull functionalities. It's really very patient-centric. Prior to COVID-19, as you alluded in your question, we developed a system at Discovery Health called Dr. Connect. Dr. Connect was quite a simple virtual consultation platform, which allowed a telemedicine consult or a video consultation between a doctor and a patient. But the law in our country at that time was not really that permissible around all consultations. It required that the patient knew the doctor and had seen the doctor before. So that's limiting. It meant that there were a limited number of consultations. And with many new technologies, we saw quite a slow user adoption curve. We saw very slow user uptake. So on that Dr. Connect platform, which we took live in 2017, we were seeing about 300 consultations a month between doctors and patients. Now, to be honest, that's tiny.
Yeah. Yeah. In the greater scheme of things, very small, yes.
Very small. At Discovery Health, we process about 300,000 health claims a day, every day. Claims for healthcare against medical schemes or from medical schemes. So, you know, 300 consultations a month in context was nothing. Along came COVID-19. And suddenly this telemedicine capability becomes incredibly relevant. And there were two big reasons for that. The first is that obviously, quite obviously, it provides access for people anywhere in the country, as long as you've got a broadband connection, to a good consultation from the safety of your home. And during lockdown, at times when social distancing was so important, at times when going to healthcare facilities poses a huge risk to consumers, what better way of getting a consultation than doing it as we're talking now, digitally, through a digitally enabled medium. So that was the first driver. And the second driver, and a very important one from our point of view, is that doctors all over the world and healthcare professionals, nurses too, were getting sick from COVID-19. And that's because they were having a repeated face-to-face exposure to infected patients. And this exposes them to what we in clinical terms call a high viral load, a very high load of the coronavirus. And as a result, the telemedicines allow this remote connection for doctors, which protects them entirely from this viral load, completely protected. And so two good reasons: safe, easy access for consumers. And the second good reason is that it could protect the doctors. So telemedicine exploded across the world. In the US, from some McKinsey reports, we saw a 35 times increase in the number of consults that providers were doing across telemedicine relative to prior COVID-19. And what we saw in Discovery Health was a multifold increase of use of Dr. Connect, from doing 300 consultations a month within 2 or 3 days of the service becoming available and known to everybody, and the regulations changed to allow consultations to happen freely, we were doing 300 a day. So that was a 30-fold increase that really happened within a one-week period for us in Discovery Health. We were privileged to have the technology available that we could just scale it up. It was there and ready to be used in the Discovery app on doctors' desktops. And this made a huge impact, we think, during COVID-19. So this is probably the best example of, the answer to your question of how in real life the technology from prior to COVID-19 become even more relevant during COVID-19. Mm-hmm. I speak about telemedicine as a bit of a gateway to digital health. Why I say it's a gateway is because it opens the door to a whole lot of other digital health opportunities. And so subsequent to our Dr. Connect platform, we've reinvented this platform entirely. We've rebuilt it end to end. We've got now a much more sophisticated, slick interface for both doctors and consumers, which has got much more richness and many, many other features now from a digital health point of view.
All right. Now, in the interest of time, we do need to wrap up. And I've got two key things from everything that you've just said that I'm interested to get your thoughts on. The first one, could you maybe share with us, because we're a business, a platform, we're very interested in the economics around these things. So if you can, could you share with us maybe what the investment in, I guess, these technology platforms actually looks like? If you could give us some sort of a quantifier, that's the first thing. And then the second thing, when it comes to the digital records, e-medicine, etc., how does privacy align with the doctor-patient confidentiality? How do all of those things work together? Because if there's going to be a single record about, doctor-patient, but it's also being seen by other parts of the healthcare system, like how do you reconcile all of those things as we wrap up?
So starting with the investment, it represents many hundreds of millions of rands over multiple years. And we're continuing to invest at a very fast pace. We have become a digital leader in our own market, and I think to the credit of our country, something we should be proud of as a country, we're actually one of the digital leaders in healthcare across the world. I'm invited to speak at digital health conferences on different continents in many territories, and our digital healthcare is considered to be quite sophisticated at Discovery Health. We began our original investment in digital healthcare in 2012 with the first manifestation called Health ID, which was just a simple electronic health record for doctors. And we did a deal with Apple at the time where we bought iPads for lots of doctors to make sure they could access a reliable health record, because it had a direct impact on the quality and cost effectiveness of care that patient members of medical schemes were receiving. So if one goes back to 2012, I can tell you with confidence this investment is way north of R1 billion and continues to grow significantly. In terms of the confidentiality and privacy aspects, we're quite fortunate almost in a way in healthcare as a sector, because privacy and confidentiality are enshrined in the code of healthcare and in what the obligations of healthcare systems and doctors are. So, you know, we're approaching the deadline for the advent of the POPIA Act. That's on the 1st of July this year. Many businesses and people around the country are preparing for this deadline. From a healthcare perspective, it's always been absolutely imperative to protect personal health information. It's always been a high responsibility, both from an ethical and a legal perspective. And our professional regulators, as clinicians, insisted on us as registered professionals. So that information is brilliantly protected, world-leading systems and protections. You know, the big data lake that I spoke of, for example, is all aggregated and anonymized data. There's no linked data to names or individuals in the big data lake. It's completely anonymized when it gets aggregated. And those health records require a handshake, a physical consent process to occur between any patient and any authorized representative of a healthcare system in order to formally unlock a health record to be accessed. There's an audit trail of it. And it's absolutely critical that that information be properly curated, protected. And I can give complete assurance around that. We've been running electronic health records in Discovery Health now for almost 10 years. Yeah. We've had, I can count on one hand the number of times we've had an escalation related to a consent error. We recently had a case where a patient was in a doctor's rooms and the patient didn't sign the consent for the doctor to gain access, yet what the doctor did was the doctor signed the consent on behalf of the patient. Now, that's not allowed. And that would constitute a privacy breach. And we had to act quite firmly against that doctor and that process and tighten that up. I can count on one hand in 10 years how many times we've had those sort of issues arise.
All right. So that's been us. We were talking to Ryan. Ryan Noach, who is the CEO of Discovery Health, just around some of what they've been doing, you know, the effects of COVID-19 on their business, their technology investments before and after the pandemic, and some of the ways in which they've been able to use the investments that he says are well north of R1 billion so far, had prepared them to be good when the pandemic actually came into effect. One of the big things that Ryan is talking about is the importance of data analytics when it comes to actually understanding what's going on with COVID-19 and how it's assisted them over the time, you know, to be able to give advice to potential patients to go to your hospital a bit earlier, and also just the collaboration with doctors in their networks to make sure that they're feeding data into this pool, and just also illustrating the increase in telehealth and medicine from their platform that he says they launched in 2017. And I can imagine that back then it was a completely different paradigm. You want to see your person, you want to see the doctor, but now everything is happening virtually. So that's been it. Thank you so much, Ryan. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Madhura. Great conversation.
This is Madhura's Take.
Quite a fascinating discussion with Ryan, just around what's going on in the world of, healthcare and technology. I think it's quite good to see what can actually be achieved. The example that he gave about giving patients, you know, that ability to know when they should be going to the hospital, you know, before it's too late. I think that speaks to the power that technology can have in the world of healthcare, especially if you have big data platforms or gathering lots of data that you can use in the models that are actually going to help you with all of that. And then at the same time, I do recognize that from a pragmatic point of view, right, it is in the interests of someone like a Discovery to make sure that people are, you know, diagnosed soon, etc., because at the end of the day, they are the ones that are, you know, paying for a lot of these treatments, the healthcare, all of that stuff. So if we can help in some ways to make sure that people are in the best shape possible, then, you know, it does do well, you know, on that end. So because I look at things, you know, from an economist, you know, lens, you know, it does serve that pragmatic purpose. But at the same time, you know, the geek inside me is very excited just around what the analytics can do and how all of that can help, because one of the things that's happened is that this is, I would say, the pandemic that's happened with the most technology and data sort of put around it. So many different countries, everyone being affected by the pandemic, and I can imagine the number of computers, data centers, server farms that are dedicated to this by the likes of Discovery and other similar players in other parts of South Africa and in other parts of the world, all working to understand this thing, you know, called COVID-19. And I guess all of that comes to the fore when you think about how rapidly the COVID-19 vaccines were able to be developed. Yes, there's a lot of groundwork that had been put together even before then because of other similar coronaviruses that had happened in the past. But that ability to coalesce and come together with all of that different data, right? I really think, you know, going forward, this moment in history is going to help to stave off or to at least minimize future infections, or hopefully one day we'll have better ways to manage what is a global pandemic through the use of technology and big data. So that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Life. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab. On Twitter, we're #BDSpotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Mudiwa Gabaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So from myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.